one of us, I will tell you that at least we would say that's not all of what Christmas is all about. The question as to how Jesus came into the world. It's not nearly as important as why Jesus came into this world. And I would say that you really can't separate the two. So when we ask the question, what exactly is it that we're celebrating during the Christmas season? You can't limit your answer simply to the incarnation, that God became man. You have to go further. Along with that, you have to include the reason for which Jesus came into the world in the first place. So let's ask that question. Why did the Son of God enter into the world in which He created? And why did He come as one of us? Well, the Apostle Paul answers that for us. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, let me read. It is a trustworthy statement and deserving of all acceptance. In other words, as Paul writes his protege, Timothy, he says this. Here's a concise statement, Timothy. A concise statement that's absolutely vital to the Christian faith and deserves acceptance by all that would read it. And then Paul says this. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. So here's the Apostle Paul, who, by the way, was a man who ended up giving his life for this message. That's how much he embraced it. And he is saying that Jesus Christ came into the world to rescue sinners. Now, maybe more than ever today, we understand the term rescue because we see it all the time on television. People are rescued from captivity. They're rescued from floods. They're rescued from fires, from severe storms, from all kind of danger and peril. In fact, I would say some of you this morning, as you sit here, you think back to a time in your life where you were in a hopeless situation, absolutely helpless to rescue yourself, and someone came and they rescued you. And you're thinking, I wouldn't be here this morning if I wasn't rescued. That's exactly what Paul's talking about, only not on a physical level. He's talking about a spiritual rescue. He's basically saying that Jesus came into this world on a divine rescue mission. Now, in the statement that Paul makes here, a statement that he is claiming to be absolutely trustworthy, of which everyone ought to accept, we find several implications as to the reason that we celebrate Christmas. I want to give them to you. Paul writes, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Implication number one, each of us needs to be rescued. Now, I realize that not everyone here is even aware of the fact that they need to be rescued, but that doesn't negate the reality that you do. And maybe we would ask the question, who exactly is it that needs to be rescued? Paul's answer here is sinners. The Greek word is hamartia. It simply means to miss the mark. Sinners are those who have missed the mark of perfectly living up to God's holy moral standards. The Bible's clear about that, by the way. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, for all have sinned. Romans chapter 3 and verse 10, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is not even a good one, no, not one. Those are the people Jesus came to rescue. Sinners. If I could say it in the vernacular, Jesus didn't come to rescue good people, He came to rescue bad people. And if you have any doubt as to which category you find yourself in, Let me give you a brief quiz. It's not my quiz. It comes straight out of the Bible. Here's a few questions to ask yourself. Have you ever loved anything or anyone in this world more than you love God at any one time? How about this question? Have you ever failed to worship God with a wholehearted devotion? Or have you ever used God's name in any kind of disrespectful way? Have you ever failed to worship the Lord on the day that He has prescribed His people to gather to worship Him? Have you ever been disrespectful to your parents? Or for that matter, for anyone in authority over you? Have you ever gotten angry with someone without just cause and maybe sometime in your past even committed violence against them? Have I ever had a physical relationship with someone other than my spouse? And not only just physically, but in my mind as well. Have I ever taken something that wasn't mine? Have I ever told a lie? Or have I ever intentionally misrepresented the truth in order to manipulate or deceive? Finally, have I ever wanted something, craved something that God had not seen fit to give me? Now, if those sound a little bit familiar to you, they're just maybe a modern-day rendition of what we know as the Ten Commandments, which is God's perfect standard and requirement for humanity to live by. You see, if you violated even one of those commandments, then in the eyes of God, you qualify as a sinner. In fact, listen to the little brother of our Lord. His name is James. He wrote a letter. He says this in chapter 2 and verse 10 of his letter. If a man would keep the entire law of God perfectly his entire life, and yet at one time violated one point, then God puts him in the category of a lawbreaker. Truth be told, if you were honest with yourself, you and I have violated those laws of God more often than we could even count. And that's why we find ourselves in the category of a sinner, of a rebel who has broken the laws of God. And by the way, you realize this comes natural to you. The Bible teaches we're sinners by nature. We're sinners by birth. None of us have had to teach our children to do wrong. They do that naturally. We teach them to do right. That's the bad news. The good news is this. Sinners are the very people Jesus came to rescue. You see, Jesus didn't come to rescue good people because they don't see their need of rescue. They don't see their need of a Savior. But bad people, those who see themselves as they are, they see their need of rescue. Now that would bring up another question. Okay, rescued from what? Well, Paul uses the word saved here. All right, saved from what? Well, let me tell you how Paul describes it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 10. Jesus came to rescue sinners from the wrath of God to come. You see, unlike many gospel, quote, gospel preachers today, we don't need to be rescued from the mess that sin makes in our lives, though sin makes a mess of our lives. But much more than that, we need to be rescued from the offense that our sin is before a holy God. We need to be rescued from the justice that God will rightly bring upon all sinners. That's what Paul means when he uses the term rescued from the wrath to come. He means a future day of judgment When God dispenses intense anger towards those who have violated His laws. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, we know this. It's appointed unto man once to die. Every one of us has that appointment. But after this, the judgment. Paul is saying here, that day is coming. That day is coming. And I realize in your life, everything might seem fine right now. And you are just celebrating the joy of life like those on the Titanic were until they hit the iceberg. Just know this, your day of judgment is coming. You see, it's from that day that every one of us needs to be rescued. Now, there's a second implication in Paul's words here. Number one, every one of us needs to be rescued. Number two, Jesus is the only one who can rescue us. You certainly can't rescue yourself. The fact that you need rescuing argues against that. You see, if you could save yourself, then you wouldn't need to be rescued. Tragically, most people believe that they can rescue themselves if they could just get a little more religion. Or if they could just find the right religion. If they could just improve their moral character. If they could turn over a new leaf. If they could find the right formula to overcome certain addictions or bad habits that's been plaguing them for years. Most people tend to think to themselves, one day I'll get better. After all, look around at all the people around. I mean, there's far worse people than I am. All that's a form of what we would call self-rescue. People try to clean up their act. People try to become a better person. I'm going to go to church more often. I'm going to do more good things. They try to outweigh all of the bad with just a little bit more good. That's the path of self-help. It's the path of self-rescue. But consider this for a moment, okay? If a perfect and all-wise God had already determined in eternity past that sinful men would need rescuing and that He would send His Son to die on the cross to rescue them, how is it that we could think to ourselves, I'm going to rescue myself? I mean, when you think about it, that actually becomes the height of rebellion towards God. I can't think of any much greater insult than God makes the ultimate sacrifice. He sends His Son into this world to be mocked, spit upon, beaten, and crucified by men who then turn around and say, I could save myself. I don't need your Son. That's the height of arrogance. Thinking we're not as bad as God says we are and thinking that we could rescue ourselves when God says we can't. To put it bluntly, if God says you need rescuing, if God says you can't rescue yourself, then you need rescuing, whether you believe it or not. And let me just take it a step further. Not only can you not rescue yourself, but there's no other person who could rescue you either. Paul is implying here that Jesus is the only one who can rescue sinners. Not a pastor, not a rabbi, not a priest. Not a church, not a denomination. Jesus is the only one who could rescue sinners. Now, that does not play well in our society. I understand that. Jesus is an exclusive Savior in an inclusive world. People like to think today that there are many ways to God. Scripture's clear. John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus says, I am the way. I am the way. I am the way. And no one comes unto the Father unless they come by me. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, Peter preaches there is only one way to salvation, and that's the name of Jesus Christ, for there's never been another name given from heaven by which men can be saved. No other name, no other way, no other Savior but Jesus. He's the only one who can rescue us from the wrath to come, which our sins deserve. Now that brings up another question. Okay, we all need rescuing. Jesus is the only one who could rescue. How did he accomplish this rescue? Well, he did so by becoming a substitute and suffering on the cross for the sins of sinners. Listen to how Paul puts it in Romans 3:25. God publicly displayed Jesus on the cross as a propitiation for our sins. Propitiation. A sacrifice that would satisfy the wrath of God towards lawbreakers. God crushed Jesus on the cross to satisfy his wrath, his justice, towards every sinner who would put their faith in Christ. That's why Jesus came. And we know God accepted this sacrifice, by the way, because he rose him from the dead. That was the vindication that Jesus, the perfect Lamb of God, had a perfect sacrifice acceptable to the Father for believing sinners. So each of us needs to be rescued. Why? Because each of us has violated God's law. We've all sinned in act, in word, and in deed. There's no question about that. And Jesus is the only one whom God has appointed to accomplish that rescue. Third implication: we can only be rescued on God's terms. Here's the thing. And Jesus, he talked about this all the time when he was on this earth. Listen to Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Because I used to think, just stick with the majority and you'll be fine. There's safety in numbers. Jesus said, "Enter into heaven at the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many go that way. But narrow is the gate. Small is the way that leads to life eternal. And relatively speaking, few there be that find it." That means most people will never be rescued from their sins. Most people will never be rescued from the wrath of God's judgment against them. And I want you to know this. There are some in this room this morning who fall into that category. Why? Because you will not seek rescue on God's terms. Okay, that begs the obvious question. What are God's terms? Let me give them to you and we'll be done. Four of them. Number one, you need to acknowledge you're a sinner and that you need to be rescued. Jesus put it this way in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 13. "I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Only those who see their need for rescuing can ever be rescued. That's exactly what Paul says here in verse 15. "Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am foremost of all." Here's the great apostle Paul, the great Christian, and he's making this claim. "I am the worst Christian that I know. I see the sin in my life." How could he make the claim he's the worst sinner that he knows? Think about it. Everybody that Paul knew, all the Christians that Paul knew, he only knew the sin about them that he could see outwardly in their life. But when Paul looked into his own heart, the enormity of the sin that he saw in his heart was utterly overwhelming and far more than he knew in anybody else's life. You can only be rescued if you see your sinfulness and recognize your need for rescuing. Number two, you must reject all of your own efforts at self-rescue. You see, our tendency is to think that we're really not that bad and we just need a little bit of help. A little bit of religion, a little bit of Jesus, a little bit of good works. If you're ever going to be rescued by Jesus, then you must give up all thoughts of self-rescue. There's no contribution whatsoever that you can make to your own rescue. It must be all of Jesus, only Jesus, and no one or nothing else but Jesus. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5, God rescues us not according to our deeds, our good works, but according to His mercy. Number 3, you must be willing to give up and leave behind all of the sin that makes you guilty in God's sight. You must be willing to give up and leave behind all the sin that makes you guilty in God's sight. The Bible calls this repentance. Repentance simply is a willingness to leave your sin behind and turn your life over to God. I want you to know that repentance is absolutely essential if you're going to be rescued. In essence, you'll be forced to make a choice. You can either keep your sin or you could leave your sin, but you can't keep your sin and have Jesus. You can't have both. Luke chapter 13 and verse 3, Jesus said, "Except you repent, you will perish in your sins." Well, there's one final thing you must do if you're going to be rescued. You must put your faith in Christ alone. You must put your faith in Christ alone as the only source of rescue. Jesus must be your sole confidence as the only one who can ever make you a sinner right before God. You see, though we've lived sinful lives, though we have violated God's law at every turn more than we could ever count, Jesus came into this world, the second person of the Trinity. He lived a perfect life. He kept God's law absolutely perfectly. And you see how it works at the cross? Jesus dies as a substitute for all of those who would admit their sinfulness before God, who would recognize Christ as the only source of rescue, who would be willing to leave their sin and turn their lives over to Christ by faith. Jesus becomes a substitute for them, and on the cross, God treats His Son Jesus like He lived my life, so that when I put my faith in Christ, God treats me like I lived Jesus' life. That's what it means that Jesus is a substitute. Now, maybe you're sitting here this morning, and after hearing all of this, you are ready to be rescued. You're thinking to yourself, what can I do? What can I do to be rescued? I don't want to face the wrath of God, the wrath that I deserve. I'd encourage you right there in the silence of your heart, in your seat, to simply ask God to rescue you. Acknowledge before Him at this very moment, yes, Lord, I see myself as the sinner the Bible describes. Be willing to turn from that sin to Christ. Tell God you're willing to trust Jesus and follow Him as your only Savior for salvation, because you believe He died in your place for your sins and God vindicated Him and rose Him from the dead. Now here's the really good news. If you come to God repenting of your sin, trusting in Jesus, God will rescue you. We have that on the authority of Scripture. It doesn't matter who you are, what you've done, how many times you've done it. God says He sent His Son into the world to rescue sinners, even the worst of them, like the Apostle Paul. So I want to encourage you, as you celebrate the Christmas season, there is so much to get excited about. But just don't celebrate how Jesus came. Celebrate why He came. And that was to rescue you from the wrath of God. Paul says, It is a trustworthy statement, deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all. Let's bow for prayer.